Let's take our Bibles. I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Yesterday morning, I was contemplating this passage right here. I got to thinking about it. And the more I thought about it, I wanted to try to make a few comments on it. Ephesians chapter 8, chapter 3, verse 8. The scripture says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now we've assembled ourselves together today to do something that is amazingly wonderful. It's more amazingly wonderful than any creature can imagine. And here's what it is: to hear the word of the Lord. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Now, when any man that is called and taught of God stands to preach the word of God, take my word for it, there is a true sense and awareness of his frailty, of his unworthiness, of his weakness. He knows that there's some, according to the scriptures, that's going to hear what is being said with an ear of indifference, and there's going to be some, by the grace of God, that's going to hear with eagerness and a desire to be spiritually fed. They want to hear. I think back on what I heard Brother Henry said. He said, "God's people don't want to hear a message, just a message." I promise you, according to my own personal studies and things, I've read enough scriptures, and you have too, where I could come up with a message that's got, it's scripturally sound. It's scripturally sound. But as Brother Henry said, God's people don't want to just hear a message. They want to hear the message of the hour from the Lord. They want to hear that which is right now. What does God have to say right now? And the pastor that stands and preaches, having sought and asked, "Lord, please guide my heart." There'll be times that I'll sit down and I'll say, "Lord, before I even open my Bible, Lord, where would you have me? Lord, you... There was a leper that came to you one day, and he said, if you will, you can make me clean. You can. I know you can." And I to say, "Lord, would you just direct my heart? I don't even know where to go. I mean, where do you start?" He said, "Well, you happen to be in Proverbs." Well, that doesn't mean that it's going to be Proverbs right now. "Lord, direct my heart. Teach me." Therefore, that man that stands to proclaim the word of God is going to say, "Who's sufficient for these things? To speak on behalf of God." And the more that we're taught of him, the more we feel our need to be taught and kept by his power and by his grace. I feel as though that this is the message for right now. This verse of scripture stirs my heart. And it's in the midst of a book. That's God, as Brother Neil said in his message last Wednesday. Got hundreds and hundreds and over 1,100 chapters. Where do you go? The Apostle Paul was moved to say, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, what I truly struggle to say of myself. He said in verse 8, now listen to this. These two words right here struck my heart again this morning. Unto me. Unto me. Unto me. And here's an honest confession. Unto me, who is less than the least of all saints. What did Paul mean by that? He said, I can see in me. I see in me. I don't see in you, but I see in me. The struggles and the fightings within that I can't even imagine that goes on in you. But I can see in me who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given? The grace of Almighty God that would be bestowed upon one that I didn't desire it of myself. Surely I didn't earn the right to stand here. And I don't deserve the right of myself to stand here. This grace was given. What grace is that, Paul, that I should preach among the Gentiles? That I should be permitted to speak that which alone the Spirit of God will bless to the salvation of the people of God. Grace that was given to one that truly before didn't even care. Didn't even care. What will you preach, Paul? The unsearchable riches of Christ. That I should be given the grace to preach him who is greater than my tongue can utter, or that my brain can even imagine. I'm standing. Who's sufficient for this? To stand here and to proclaim one that I cannot even grasp hold of his majesty, he who's more ready, he who is more ready to pardon his people for whom he's died, he's more ready to pardon them than I am to sin, and I'm ready to sin. I'm ready. I'm always ready. So Paul said, I see in me there dwells no good thing in me. The will is present with me how to perform. But he who is more ready to pardon? He who is more ready to forgive me than I am to rebel against him, and I'm ready to rebel. He's more ready. He's more willing to supply all of my needs. He's more ready and able to supply all my needs than I am to even ask for. I don't even know what to ask for. He knows. He who's more worthy of praise and honor and glory than I can comprehend, he who has given his people heaven on earth. Now, I'm telling you right now, and I get it. We don't understand the depth of this right now, but I'm telling you right now, heaven on earth is right here. The Lord's with us. The Lord's in our presence. And I'm not saying that lightly. I mean it. I know everybody will stand up and say that. The Lord's here. Well, according to his word, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, in my honor, my character, my glory, I am in the midst of you. I know that we have heaven on earth, though we see through a glass darkly. Brethren, we see. And soon, we'll experience heaven truly. Hold your place. Turn with me to Isaiah 64:4. I quote this a lot, but here's where the Apostle Paul quoted it from. Isaiah 64:4. I'm talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Isaiah 64:4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. How many times have we thought about those from our congregation that we've loved and passed on? How about your dad? Scott, Glenn, Gene, Darius, Rob. How about these precious people that struggle just like we did or do right now? Can you try to imagine, you know, and you just can't do it. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20-21. Talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Yes. The Apostle Paul, he saw himself as weak. And he knew he was weak. And all God's people know that they're weak. They know that. But he knew that the message he preached wasn't. The message we preach, this is actually this word power we quote, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is the dynamite. This is the power. This is the power of God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1. Now this message that we preach, every man, every woman, every man, every woman, 1 Corinthians 1, they got an opinion on it. Everybody's got something that they truly feel they believe. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross, the preaching of what was accomplished on the cross, the preaching of the one that hung on the cross, the one that was sent of God, the Lamb of God, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the accomplishment, the fulfillment, the satisfaction of the law, the putting away of all the sins of God's elect, the debt, the preaching of the cross. That's what that means. Not just that the crucifixion happened. Everybody and their brother knows it happened. But the preaching of what was accomplished, who was there, where is he now, what did he do, why did he go, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Particular redemption, Ben. Particular, that Christ died only for the elect. When he went to the cross, who did he die for? I lay down my life for the sheep. That's foolishness, they say. Oh, no, 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 no. But to them perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. You want some comfort? Almighty God and his unsearchable riches of grace would teach you in your heart that when Christ died, he had you on his mind. Now that's comfort. I believe with all my heart, when he said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them. Oh, the depth of those three words. I know them. And let me tell you something that will settle my heart, yours too, if you know him. That as I've said before, those stones that were in the heart of that priest when he went into that holy place, that when he died on the cross, and only God could do this, that he had my name on his heart. I'm dying for Mark. Look at verse 1 Corinthians 1:23-24. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You know, the Lord's preachers, they never struggle with the subject of what they're going to preach. They're going to preach Christ and him crucified. Let me tell you the biggest compliment somebody ever give me. I know exactly what you're going to preach. It just, you have the same message every week. Thank you. Thank you for at least recognizing that. I know exactly what you're going to say. Well, if I'm preaching Christ, thanks be unto God for that. They know what they're going to preach. Why? Because there's not another message. I don't have another message. Listen to these words. I am the way. Now, who you think I'm going to preach? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I got one message. We're going to preach. I'm going to preach him. I'm going to tell you about him. Let me tell you what he says. Let me tell you what he's done. Let me tell you where he is. Turn with me to Luke 2, Luke 2:14. You know, when the angels proclaimed their message, which was God's message, Luke 2, verse 14. They preach the message that God's preachers preach. Listen to what these angels said. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, good will toward men. Now, if you have a marginal, you know, if you do, good. Let me tell you what mine says. In my marginal reading, where it says good will toward men, there's a marginal reading, a reference to two different verses, two scriptures. One of them, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And I've told you what that means, the human race. Not everybody in it doesn't mean they just love the human race. And he wasn't going to let the human race die. So God, a people, he chose a people. So John 3:16, God loved the human race. Look it up. That's what it means, the human race. Then also, there's a reference there to Ephesians 2. Turn over to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4. Ephesians 2:4, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Look at verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his loving kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, to make sure that I don't lead anybody unnecessarily to assume that which is wrong, somebody can say, well, you see what it says? God says us. He means all. He means all of us. What book are we in? Ephesians? What does the first two verses of Ephesians say? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes right on in the next few verses to tell how God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without. So you have to understand who he's writing to. So we set forth here this marvelous message of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and his unsearchable riches of grace that was given. How gloriously did Almighty God announce the humble birth of our Savior, these angels that proclaimed the glory of him who was sent, and the peace which was brought and manifested toward men. Not all men, but God's people. It's good news. All for whom he would lay down his life, and all for whom the law would be satisfied and honored. And that goodwill and that peace proclaimed through those that he's come to save. The sting of death, the victory of the grave is going to be removed. Those that's going to be made willing in the day of his power to be robed and wear that robe, that royal robe of righteousness. Those who know, they admit, I'm not worthy. I am what I am by the grace of God. Oh, how thankful we are that our hope and our confidence and our assurance of life in him is not found in our fickle choice, my fickle will. If it was based on what I did, then remember this. Now, if it's based on what you do, you better not, A, have ever sinned before. Now, we're already gone because we were conceived in sin. So it's already over if it's in us. But those that feel that they've done something from the Lord, if you ever could have done it, which you didn't, and you couldn't, you better not have ever done it, offended in one point since then. I'm telling you, if you're trusting in what you did, you better hope, which you're not, that you're perfect. And you're not. Oh, the riches of his grace. He who finished the work of the Father. That's our hope. Oh, the unsearchable riches. I looked up that word unsearchable. Here's what it means. That which cannot be comprehended. Cannot be comprehended. Cannot be searched out. Too deep to be understood or measured. I remember as a child, I was intrigued with space, how far space was. Jeff, trying to think, okay, how far does space go? And I'd hear these people say, well, there's no knowledge of how far it goes. And I just try. And then also I'd sit in church and I was talking about, I heard a preacher talking about the fires of hell that will never be quenched. And I try to think there and imagine. And it, I just couldn't grasp hold of eternity. And we can't. But as a kid, I would sit there. But Paul was moved by the Spirit of God to speak of that which can't be traced out. There's another one, another word. It cannot be traced out. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, as I wrap this up, when I began writing out these notes again this morning, I started to put something in my notes, and I thought, nah, I won't put that in, but I'm going to just say what I was thinking. I don't want to try to explain or muddy what I can't explain. I don't want to delve into something and try to make something understandable that I cannot make understandable. Well, then, let me ask you this. These unsearchable riches, how are they attained? 3:1-3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you, word, how that by, here it is, revelation, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore, in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. We're born with a nature that is incapable of knowing these things by our own ability. We do this every time we meet together. We talk about chosen in Christ. And I'd ask every believer here, how many believe that we're chosen in Christ? All of you is going to agree with me. Explain that to me. I mean, in my fickle brain, the only thing that comes to my mind is a man, Christ Jesus, and in him, but him bearing all of our sins, and I'm thinking to myself, I know that's truly so. I know it because the Bible said it, but think of all of the sin, all of the thoughts, all of the evil of our minds, or you're trying to pray and your mind's wandering, and it's the plowing of the wicked is sin, and everything that I've done or could do or would do, that he bore all of that. That's unsearchable for me. How do you get a hold of that? How do you grasp hold of this? Turn to Ecclesiastes 7. That's just right there before Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes 7. Here was something that the wisest man born in Adam said. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 23-25. Now listen, I'm telling you, Solomon was a wise man. God gave him more wisdom than any other creature. Ecclesiastes 7:23, all this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reasons of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness. and madness, and I find more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, her hands as bands, whose pleasure pleaseth God shall escape from her by the, but the sinner shall be taken by her. He said, I tried to grasp hold of these things, and I just couldn't do it. I just can't. You know, we're all born spiritually ignorant. We're all born sinners. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now that's just the way it is. And if left in that state, we'll be in hell. But look at this, the unsearchable riches of his grace. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Beloved, God is unsearchable, unfathomable. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God. I love preaching him that I cannot figure out. That's God. That's God. And it's the glory of God to either reveal these things, Matthew 11:25, to either reveal them, it's his glory to reveal them, or to withhold them. That's what the Lord prayed. The Lord prayed, Matthew 11:25-26, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. And the natural man says, that foolishness, that God would withhold something from somebody, that's foolishness. The Lord said in verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Isn't that wonderful? That God would do that which God is pleased to do. We believe the Lord. We believe God. Last verse, last passage right here. Romans 9. Now you talk about the unsearchable riches of God. Romans 9:15-24. Unsearchable riches. Now you try to search this out. You won't find it. You won't find the answer. It's just, this is what God said, and so we believe it. This is unsearchable. He saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. You try to figure that out. You know what God's people do? They bow. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Okay, you raised up a man, a Pharaoh, a king in Egypt, right? Yes, that's what he said. Why? That I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. That's unsearchable. That's unfathomable. That's too deep. Therefore he hath mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Oh, but the natural man's got something to say about that. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but oh man, hear it again. This is unsearchable. Who art thou that replies against God? What do you got to say about it? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same clay to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. Things of God, Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ? Lord, give me a heart to believe this and to rest in you and cast myself upon you for mercy. Because you said, Lord, you said, I'm going totally on your word. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Every believer comes to him and is coming to him right now for his glory and their good. Amen. All right, let's take a break. We'll come right back.